Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's time for Industry Night, our weekly segment exploring the world of food and hospitality. A new beer and cider bar has opened up in Avondale. It's called Sleeping Village, and it'll feature several craft beers. Plus, it's got a stage for music. Sounds nice enough, as bars and clubs open up all the time in this great city. But this is the new project from the guys behind the famed Whistler in Logan Square. The Whistler is considered one of the best cocktail bars in the city, and it's routinely hard to get into. It opened almost a decade ago in Logan Square, so it's only natural that the follow-up project is here, and Sleeping Village is it. But instead of slinging craft cocktails, the crew of Billy Helmkamp, Rob Brenner, and the original Whistler bartender Eric Henry are putting an emphasis on beer. And as I mentioned, Eric Henry was the bartender at Whistler, and now he moves to Sleeping Village as a partner. Henry and his team were at the epicenter of the cocktail movement here in town, and it's a pleasure to welcome him to the Download tonight. Eric Henry, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Justin.
Great to have you. I mean, let's talk about this. I mean, this is an exciting, not just for Chicago, but for you, the fact that, you know, you get a chance to move on from being a guy who's the head bartender and setting what's on the menu to being a partner. Talk about why you're involved in Sleeping Village.
Well, over the years of working at the Whistler, Rob and Billy and myself really connected around mostly our love for music. And generally, just our love for running a venue and throwing shows and basically throwing parties. So we had a blast doing that for 10 years, and we just wanted to make something bigger, more accessible, faster service, everything like that.
Yeah, so. I was going to say this. I mean, really, there's an emphasis on, we'll talk about the beer and the cider part, but there's really, I should say, the emphasis is on music. You guys are really getting into the game of presenting music and making it a bigger play than at the Whistler. You had the back little stage, but this is right on par with some of the clubs in town.
Yeah, well, we had a great thing going at the Whistler, still do. It's a small room, very intimate for shows. The new place, we have a separate room for shows, and then the front half is the bar, which we've sort of designed around the concept of like a neighborhood bar. So we're open all day serving coffee, little snacks, and then beer and cider, of course. That's my side of the game. And then the venue is in the back where we throw shows at night and do a bar in the back as well, yeah, with cans.
You are known, and I kind of mentioned it at the top, for craft cocktails, but really at the height of it, the Whistler's been at the center. Why beer? What is it about craft beer? And what's your experience in it? Obviously, as a head bartender, you know all about it, but you have made your name in cocktails.
It's kind of a long story, but we did the cocktail game for a long time. We love it. I mean, personally, I started to run into dead ends with coming up with new drinks. My creativity was limited by my background, which is basically a bartender, not a super well-curated chef or anything like that. I didn't have a big background in cooking. But over the years of making drinks and being really successful with that, I was able to learn a lot and practice a lot about drinking beer. And I go into it with the perspective of a cocktail bartender, where I want to offer the widest range of things I possibly can and get them into the hands of people who may not have had them before. Same thing we did with cocktail ingredients. We're doing now with different beers from around the world that people don't necessarily know about. They haven't heard of them. They just don't have the exposure that a lot of like local beers might have. Mm-hmm. So we're bringing in beers from all over the place, just as at the Whistler, we were able to do that with cocktails, like all those kinds of esoteric ingredients. The same, if not even a larger world like that, exists in the beer world.
As a bartender, and it's fascinating to me because there's so much put into what a bartender knows. Now there are programs, you know, you go to the cooking schools and there's programs for mixology or what have you. For you to be a bartender who knows the work and knows the ingredients and to be able to have that experience almost be a DIY experience in the way that you're moving through and understanding how these cocktails come out and have so much success with it. Talk about this idea of you almost learning on the fly.
That's a little bit of a romantic take on how I learned how to bartend. I mean, it took a lot of work. It took a lot of self-study. I had a great mentor in Paul McGee for the first couple of years that I was working at the Whistler. He's gone on to do great things, obviously. And going through that process and then taking the reins myself and sort of directing the program the way I wanted it to go in conjunction with Rob and Billy, like we kept everything fresh and new that way instead of having like a singular vision, where a lot of bars I feel fall into that trap where there's one guy or gal who's the head bartender and they sort of direct the program down one certain road or the other.
Right.
At the Whistler, we always did it by committee.
Okay.
So we created all of our drinks by committee. We're doing the same thing at the new place, doing the beer list. Like, I'm the beverage director, but I have a partner who's also a co-director, and Rob and Billy have their input, and we take input from the entire team. So we're just trying to get as many opinions as we can to have our program be the most interesting and most varied in the city.
If somebody listens to this and says, you know, I'm a bartender and I want to elevate my game or possibly get into the field altogether, when you talk about having a mentor but also being a self-study, what goes into that? Tell me about what makes a good bartender, especially one that's going to be in the high-profile spot of a place like the Whistler.
Sure. The most important aspect of learning how to bartend and be a mixologist or a cocktail bartender for me was curiosity. I came into the Whistler pretty much totally clueless. I'm not even going to lie. I was the door guy. I was then the bar back, and I worked my way up through the system there. And I had never seen 95% of the ingredients that were there. Chartreuse, never heard of it. Averna, never heard of it. Like, none of these things had I even knew what they were.
Wow.
So I just started talking to Paul, buying books, reading blogs, going to bars, going to cocktail places. Every time I traveled with my wife, I'm dragging her around a cocktail bar. She's like, why are we going to so many bars? You know, like, we were in Paris. She's like, can we do something else? that curiosity is what really drove me to continue in this line of work. I mean, honestly, I was in kitchens for most of my life working. Never really took it that seriously. But once I got into the Whistler and got behind the bar and learned, hey, man, you can make this into a career. You can make it really fun. You can do music and have music involved in it. That's when I really focused my curiosity towards the beverage world, and moving from cocktails like to beer is just another one of those, like, I kind of did the cocktail thing. Now I'm super curious about beer. I've been like kind of getting into wine a little bit more.
I was
going
to say, and it really does feel like, you know, the follow-up question about how you discover the right beers for the menu. Let's do this. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about that part. Eric Henry, my guest, the former head bartender at the Whistler, who is now a partner and beverage director at Sleeping Village in Avondale, the new bar that just opened up about a month ago. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Eric Henry here in Industry Night. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download Here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Our Industry Night segment. Eric Henry is here, bartender, head bartender at the famed Whistler for years, has moved on as partner and beverage director at Sleeping Village. The same guys behind Whistler are now bringing a Sleeping Village, which is a craft beer and cider bar with music, a live stage, getting a lot of buzz around this place. You know, as we mentioned right before the break, we were talking about craft cocktails and how you got into it, which I love. I love the self-study of it because, to be frank, it can be a pretentious pursuit.
Sure.
In the way you walk into a bar and somebody is like, well, this goes with this, and it's intimidating. To understand that there are ways that bartenders are just like us, they're curious and they want to understand the work. How important is that when it comes to even beer, to not necessarily be the foremost expert, the trained foremost expert on beer, but more to have curiosity lead the way?
Well, there was a lot of that sort of, I don't know, pomposity around the cocktail scene at the beginning when people were just first figuring it out and everyone was really excited about their new knowledge. And as we all know, like, the newest person is generally the most, like, I know everything,
yeah, right.
The most confident about their situation. But as you grow and learn that there's just millions of ways to do almost everything, you kind of figure out, I better lay off that sort of angle on it a little bit and just focus on what's really important behind a bar is customer service. And, you know, not making your guest feel like they're not smart or not totally hip or whatever the feeling you'd get is when somebody is kind of being a little bit lording their knowledge over you,
yeah,
or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And that's the way I come at bartending, is just from a customer service standpoint, where I love to have the knowledge about beer and I'm like here to help you get whatever drink you want in your hand through my knowledge of what you like versus what I have to offer you that you would like.
I always think about Whistler's a good example because there's bartending that might be the more friendly daytime, what do you have kind of vibe where you walk in and you grab a stool and you watch a game, that kind of stuff. When you're talking about the Whistler, though, there's a line around the corner. There's definitely expectations that people have when they come in. They maybe set aside time because they want to, they know they're going to the Whistler tonight. Does it change the way as a bartender you approach the gig in the way that you know that there's all this excitement and anticipation around the experience they're going to have with you?
A little bit. It does change it to a certain degree when it's really, really cranking and busy like that. You do sort of have to adjust your mentality. That being said, it's more of like trying to offer the same service while keeping it maybe a little bit shorter. We try to give every single person through the door the same respect, the same treatment at both bars, you know. Everywhere we go, it's like we respect you as a customer, as a guest here. You're welcome in our space. We don't ever like try to change our perspective based on like, well, there's a million people in line, right, so I don't care about you. There's somebody else right behind you to take your spot. Like, that's just not the way we can go about
right,
it. Like
right,
then your lines don't come anymore.
Right, right.
So,
you know, for you to make a transition to go from head bartender to beverage director mm-hmm. and partner, how has your job changed from going from the Whistler to Sleeping Village?
Yeah, a lot less bartending, still a lot of hours, late nights, but more so working with the staff, getting them trained, working with more back of house stuff, like talking with distributors mm-hmm. and buyers and trying to contact breweries like, hey, who's selling your beer in Chicago? Like that kind of thing. When can we get your beer in Chicago? Pushing people to send us stuff. That was a big learning curve for me because most of the time at the other bar, I was the beverage manager, but I was also that role was mostly just bartending and working on cocktails.
Yeah, or even being the guy who sets the menu. It's so interesting, too, because as you said earlier in this interview, to go from door guy to up to bartender to head bartender to now beverage director to partner to having business conversations with distributors, mm-hmm. you've lived a life when it comes to the bar.
Yeah.
And talk about that. Talk about like just the evolution of the early days of your career to where you're at now.
After college ended, I was sort of a rambler, kind of road warrior situation, just going around working in restaurants, doing seasonal work, traveling, things like that, taking months off at a time. And when I landed in Chicago, I was lucky enough to be put together with the guys at the Whistler and then finding myself in a really great position. I love music. That's always been a central part in my life. Yeah. So working at a place that did live music and was part of the nurturing the music scene here in Chicago, which I was new to at the time. Like I moved here 6 months before the Whistler opened and started there about 6 months after they opened. And then, yeah, working through all those different spots, learning the bar industry from the bottom up, essentially.
But that has to help you, though, as
a partner,
how a doorman thinks. And
it
to
does.
Know,
yeah. Yeah, it does. I don't know if I predicted my path to land where it has, but, you know, we started thinking about this new place and this new venture with a larger venue where we could do larger shows and still maintain what we love, which is just those types of community spaces, those types of bars that you can go into and you feel at home, but there's also something else going on, maybe a show, maybe artwork, mm-hmm. whatever it is. We've been working on this project for years now. Like we started it about 5 years ago. We conceived the idea. It took us a long time to find the right space for it, a long time. And then to finally build it, it took another couple of years.
Yeah.
It was basically a project that, you know, you have a general contractor, but you're there.
You're there, right?
All the time, like, do this, do that, don't do it this way, do it that way. It was a definite learning experience for me. I'd never undertaken something so large.
With this project, and this is my last question, but just mm-hmm. I think about you've spent your professional life, and probably more than your professional life, in the bar. And that space, the bar, the tavern, that mm-hmm. hasn't changed much over time. It's the same concept of how bartenders work. And there's been modifications, obviously, mm-hmm. with the craft, you know, cocktail movement, more about the speed and the efficiency, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But as you look forward, now that you're moving into new roles in your professional life, can the experience of a bar be improved? Are there places that still you look at it as an entrepreneur, you look at it as someone who lived a life, say, mm-hmm. you know what, I can make a better bar?
That's our goal at all times, working at our places. It's something we try to instill in our staff, which is constantly thinking about how you can do better. So we're always trying to improve our space with, be it from the guest perspective, like making it more pleasing to the eye, making it more comfortable feeling for you. And then in the back of the house, how we can make that service quicker, how we can make everyone understand what's going on in our space without having it be difficult. So we're constantly working towards that, and like being open so far about 6 weeks and adding in little bits and pieces. Like we started our shows last weekend. We're having a show Thursday night, and then next weekend, more shows, more people, the patio's coming. Like these are all issues that we're working on day in and day out, like trying to make them more efficient, better, more fun for people to come and enjoy. Because that's, in the end, like, that's what running a place is about. It's a place for people to come together with their friends and family and enjoy themselves.
You know, it's funny because I was just in New York and we were in a cocktail bar. And the one thing they had on the menu, when you ordered the drink, the waiter said, that drink takes 14 minutes to make. Or that's what it was. Like, they had the times down on the menu. It almost was like that was, you know, almost like when you go to Cheesecake Factory and like, if you want a souffle, you got to order it now. But it was like they were telling us the times of each drink. That was part of the menu item. I was amazed at that being almost an evolution when you think about they want to make sure that you know the expectation of what you're ordering.
It's a big problem in some places when you don't make those expectations clear. We found that out at the Whistler early on, and it's a little bit different with draft.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty quick.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But, you know, you're going through, and if people are, you know, they order their drink, they don't expect to wait 5 minutes if it's really busy, or 10 minutes or 14 minutes, as you said.
Right.
So, yeah, write it down there. I mean, why not?
Why not?
It's, if that's how long it's going to take.
That's what it's going to take.
Let them know, and then they won't be upset.
Eric Henry is the partner and beverage director at Sleeping Village in Avondale, right on West Belmont. So what's the address?
That's 3734 West Belmont.
There you go, 3734 West Belmont. Of course, the longtime head bartender at the Whistler in Logan Square. Eric, thanks for coming in and talking about your craft tonight here on The Download. Appreciate it.
That was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.